Okay, gentlemen, shalom. Today is Thursday, February 5th. We're going to finish off Maccabee Patish today. Very exciting. And the last application of Maccabee Patish is going to be regarding how Maccabee Patish applies to foods. When you finish off, we know that when you finish off any project, the last finishing touch is Maccabee Patish. What about the finishing touch on food items, on salads, on whatever else you're cooking or making? So yesterday we talked about Maccabee Patish by cooking, and we saw that the actual malacha, the actual cooking itself isn't going to be considered Maccabee Patish. What were the reasons for that?
But how could it be Maccabee Patish by food? It sounds too creative.
Well, it's the finishing touch. You're putting something together. You're assembling a... Let's say, did your mother ever make strawberry shortcake? Let me tell you how to make strawberry shortcake. You make plain white sponge cake. You cut in slices. You take each slice, each layer of strawberry, of pound cake or sponge cake. You layer it with whipped cream. On top of the whipped cream, you put sliced strawberries. You put another layer of cake. Another whipped cream covered with that, strawberries on top of that. Put a third layer on top. You cover it over with whipped cream all around. You put some strawberries on top. That last strawberry you just assembled, how is that any different than any other of the things that you assemble and you put the finishing touch on it? How is that different than the second blow, the blow into the...
Because that blow is going to stay there forever.
Oh, okay. So you're giving an answer. You're suggesting that depends on being there forever.
Okay, I have a question. Yeah? Why, at
the
end of the minute, why talk about Behema? It applies for human beings also.
Good point. We'll see. We'll get there. We'll see. Good point. It's a very good point. It's a very good point. So, how did we explain yesterday why the act of bishul itself isn't going to be the Maccabee Patish? So we had two ways to explain why bishul itself won't be, even though it's the finishing touch on getting the food ready, you know, to be eaten. We said it's not going to be Maccabee Patish. Does anyone remember the two reasons, or one of the two reasons?
One of them was that we don't connect Maccabee Patish with a different malacha.
Right. Whenever you're violating a different malacha, we're not going to attach Maccabee Patish. Maccabee Patish could only exist in the absence of anything else, then it will be Maccabee Patish. But here, since there's Bishul, that you're violating, so we can't pin Maccabee Patish on to this. That's the first answer. The second answer, what's the second reason why Maccabee Patish will not be on cooking?
Because it's not permanent.
Cooking is permanent. You cook it, and it's never going to be raw again. If you have water and vegetables and chicken, and you boil it up, it turns into chicken soup. Four weeks later, it's still chicken soup.
Could there be a rule, Maccabee Patish is only on things that are going to last forever?
You could suggest that rule. We haven't seen anything like that yet. What's the second reason that we suggested why the cooking process itself will not be the Maccabee Patish?
Yeah. It has to be an act, right?
100%. That's exactly what we saw. Rashi, thank you. Thank you, Michael. Maccabee Patish is like it was in the Mishkan, a bang, a something, a bad act. Instantaneous, as you did it, you see the results right away. As opposed to when you put something in the oven and it happens by itself. How do you say by itself? Me'ileha. From itself. From on its own. That you're not going to be chayav for Maccabee Patish. Now, we started yesterday with the Mishnah on Daf Kufim Hamad Beis, and we're talking about the pouring water on the salty fish. And pouring water on the salty fish, we said, is going to be usher because it's the last thing that the fish needs. The question was, that we did yesterday, is what are you pouring on the salty fish? Is it usher only to pour hot water on the salty fish? Or even cold water? Why is that such an important question? Because if the iser to pour on the salty fish is only hot water, then what malacha must it be assuming? It's because of bishul. But if you're going to say that it's usur even by pouring cold water, because you're finishing off the fish, you can't say it's bishul if it's cold water. There ain't no bishul cold. It must be that Mishnah would be a source that there's makkah b'patish
by
foods, even though there's no cooking involved, water's cold, you just put the finishing touch on that food item, that's makkah b'patish. So who talked about this question, whether the water is cold or hot? Anyone know who talked about this question? The Beir Halacha, on the end of your source sheet, on 5. What is it? Page 4, maybe?
He said... Third page?
Okay, the Beir Halacha. Look at the second line. Ra'iti b'prima gadin. Michael, you want to read that line? Do you have
that?
You want to read Ra'iti b'prima gadin?
Ra'iti b'prima gadin, so'an b'prima gadin, she'lotze hadash davar shum she'inu yachol le'achol.
She'lotze hadash, he wants to say chiddush. That what? The chadesh davar. He wants to make a chiddush in the following thing. That what?
That because of that it's not able to be eaten.
To be eaten.
To be eaten. Kval b'li hadacha chayuve u'mishum makkah b'patish.
Go ahead, what does that mean?
That since it's without pouring it on, pouring the hot water.
Since it's not able to be eaten without hadacha, what's hadacha, right? Right, what's hadacha? You're right?
Rinsing,
pouring water on it, right?
You're
going to
be obligated?
You'll be
chayev. With makkah b'patish.
Period. So what do you see on that? You see, according to this prima gadim, what is the prima gadim assuming?
That this gemara, this mishnah is talking about makkah b'patish.
And therefore the water would be chayev, you're chayev even if the water that you're pouring would be cold. Because I don't care whether it's warm or cold, that's not the point. We're not talking about a bishul issue, we're talking about finishing the food. The food is finished, you're chayev. So what do we have? We have a prima gadim who says, underline this, these few words, prima gadim says, finishing up, making this food ready to eat, is makkah b'patish.
The prima gadim says that this mishnah is referring to cold water also?
Must be.
How does he get that?
Because
no, but there's a problem. Does the mishnah
if
say,
it's makkah b'patish, what do you violate?
How do you know it's makkah b'patish?
He suggests that since it's not ready and you're making it ready, it's going to be makkah b'patish.
No, but it's not.
Now you and I are adding a point. You and I are going to
add. How do you know if it's cold?
Wait, if you're violating makkah b'patish, should it matter how hot the water is?
No.
What should be the only thing that matters?
But how does he know we're doing makkah b'patish?
Well, he's suggesting that it makes sense that this should be a violation of makkah b'patish. Because, I mean, you saw the word gemar melacha in the Mishnah. So turn to Kuf Mem Hayim at Beis.
Yeah, but Gemara Malacha can mean finishing any Malacha. I know we've been talking about Gemara Malacha in the context of Makkah B'patish, but it can still mean Gemara Malacha of Yeshua, Gemara Malacha of...
You're right. But those words we don't really find too often in Shas, in Mishnayos. We don't find those words often. One place I know where we do find it is by...
Makkah B'patish.
Yeah. So he says, you had food say that wasn't edible, now it is edible. You have Makkah B'patish by food. That's Prima Gundam's opinion. But Jesse Shore made an important point yesterday. The only case, if this is the case that we have makkah b'patish, then you have makkah b'patish by what kind of food?
Unedible food.
That you did something that
made it
edible. So there, okay, there you true you do see makkah b'patish, but we don't necessarily know that there'll be makkah b'patish if I have cake and cream and strawberries and I put them all together to make a strawberry shortcake. Maybe there that won't be. We could argue. Perhaps there you don't have a proof from this that making a strawberry shortcake will be makkah b'patish because the cake is cooked, the strawberries are edible, and the whipped cream is edible. You just put them together, so they're all edible beforehand. So it's not like you made something unedible into being something edible.
Rabbi, because of the Mishnah, where is edible the fish once you put the salt once you rinse it afterwards.
Once you rinse it afterwards.
But that's not that clear, no?
Rashi's a little bit hard to read.
Yeah,
let's see the Rashi.
But it's still hard here, but the Prima Gadim is making a lot of stuff up.
You're saying it's making a big chummer, yeah.
No, but like, how does he know we're using hot water or chummer?
He doesn't. He's just assuming. He says that you're chayev for rinsing off the salt. Why should he be chayev? He's assuming it's because of makkah b'patish. You and I are inferring, must be that he would ask it even if it would be cold water. I don't know if the Prima Gadam, I didn't see Prima Gadam inside, but I don't know if he would be talking about, he says the word cold or hot water. But if it's Makom Patish, then what else is it?
There's other people that hold that it's...
Yeah. Hold on. We'll be there in a minute. Let's look on Kuf Mem Hei Amud Beis.
Is he the only one that says this is... No.
I don't know, perhaps.
The only one that we're going to see that he says. Sorry, it doesn't matter if the water is cold or hot.
According to the Prima Gadim, what are you violating by pouring the water? Does it? Did you ever see that Makom Patish, there's a certain temperature that you need to have to violate Makom Patish? Neither did I. So therefore, if you're finishing, if you're doing Makom Patish, you're violating it. You're making the food ready to eat, so it's Makom Patish. It shouldn't matter how hot the water is. If, however, you're going to learn that it's Bishul, like we'll see in a moment in Rashi, then clearly it would depend on the heat of the water, because of course Bishul has to have hot water. You can't do Bishul if it's cold.
Why would the Mishnah say that it's okay with the famine?
Where? He's going from, he's explaining the Mishnah. Madichan oto b'chamim b'sha'as chutz m'ham aliyach yashan. You're making a deek of the Mishnah. You're saying the Mishnah sounds like it's only talking about hot water. Fine. That's a good point. Let's see this Rashi.
Wait,
on
so
the Mishnah.
Is it safe to say that it's also Makom Patish by food is only there when it's unedible?
We could limit the Chiddush of the Prima Gadim to a case where it's only making unedible into edible.
That's
Prima
safe,
Gadim,
it's safe to say that.
We don't know what he says. He certainly said the Prima that Makom Patish applied to food. We're saying, but I don't know yet that I could apply it to all foods. Perhaps it's only, making unedible into edible. Or maybe it's everything, I don't know. But we could say the logic that would limit it.
So that if it was only from unedible to edible...
Then so you'd be able to make a strawberry shortcake.
So that's like holding Makom Patish with Rashi?
No, it would be hold... Oh. I am scared to get into that. I don't know. Let's see this Rashi inside. It's the last Rashi on the Mishnah. Kul yis ha'ispanin. Rashi kuf mem hei amud beis. Alex, did you see this? You want to read the last Rashi, Alex?
Sure.
Kul yis ha'ispanin is probably a Latin or a Greek word. It's probably not Hebrew. It's definitely not Hebrew. It's probably not even... it's a Latin word. Or Greek.
The kulim, the isfanim.
Kulyas Hispanin, yeah.
Kulyas Hispanin is kind of Spanish mackerel, was it?
Somebody looked it up.
Shem Dav Sheoklin also Mechavas Melacho. That it's the name of fish that's eaten by soaking it in, or by salting it. Ayate Hadacha, by dipping it.
By rinsing it.
By rinsing it, Bechamin. The Hanach.
Stop. Yeah. What does that mean?
So it's a fish that's made by salting it, and then before it's able to be eaten, you rinse it off with hot water.
Hot water, that's a very important word. So you already see where Rashi is going to go.
That the...
Keep on going.
The Hanach, Afilu, Hadacha, Nami, Lo, Shizehu, Gomar, Malacha, Behavi, Bishul.
What's the Hanach?
And the placing of the...
Hanach means and these. Hanach means these.
These actions of preparing the fish?
These actions.
Afilu hadachi, even the rinsing it, nami...
Low.
Nami low.
Other things, other food items, you're allowed to pour hot water on. You're allowed to pour hot water on other foods, but not...
But not this.
This food, why?
Because it's the finishing halacha to have bishul. Which is Bishul in this case.
And it will be Bishul. So clearly Rashi is learning that it's Bishul, not like the Prima Gadim.
So only with hot water you...
And that's why Rashi said it the line before that it's only hot water.
But with cold water you're allowed to put on this fish.
That's not going to be Bishul, so that wouldn't be a violation.
It's with the salt, this is already cooked.
Yeah, this what? Fish, lemon. This fish already is cooked with the lemon, no?
No, lemon salt, the ceviche. Salt that's what I was just talking
about. No, but it's cooked with the salt.
It's, right, but it just needs one little bit, either.
But it's in chamam melachot.
Right, that's what's hard to read. I think it means like you, but it sounds like you have to get the salt off a little bit and a
maybe
little
the
bit
hot
make,
water does some of
the hot water makes the salt do that that last little, you know, that last little bit to.
Right, it's hot water, cooked.
But the point here is the hot water is not a kli rishon. It's like a kli sheni or shlishi. That's the chiddush of this mishnah. That everything else kli sheni or kli shlishi is mutter. But here, with this case, is the one case that it's aser. Kli yaseres panim, because they're so delicate. Because they're already soaked in salt, so they're so delicate that even a kli sheni or shlishi will cook them.
Will heat it.
Will cook it. That's what this rashi says.
Kli rishon, no.
No. Kli rishon, of course, it's aser. Off with aser. This mishnah is saying that. Even if it's medichin, meaning it's like in a klishen yishlishi, even that will be aser. I don't want to get into that because that's the whole sugya.
It's a chumra again?
It's saying that even the kulyas ispin is more chumra than other foods.
Right.
All other foods. If you would take an apple, you wouldn't be able to cook it in a klishen. Rinsing it off in a klishen or shlishi or something, whatever it is, would not cook it. But here, this food, it will be aser. Why? Because it's. It's so delicate and already
aren't
practically.
Aren't you holding the fish under the sink? Isn't there's no kli on
you. Right, but the you're right. Holding it perhaps, pouring it from a kli sheni, perhaps.
Okay. You put hot water in a kli and then you take the kli and you
pour it over
the fish.
Yeah, again, that's a big discussion that Rishon, I don't want to get into. Okay. Look at the tab. Look at the next line in the Be'er Halacha, Michael. I'm sorry, the Berashi Rambam. Yeah, next line after that. Skip that.
This is all the
Be'er Halacha. This is all the Be'er Halacha analyzing the Halacha of Kliyas Ispanim.
The Berashi Rambam, Be'er
Lahedya. What's Lahedya? Alex, what's Lahedya?
Where are we also, Rabbi?
I skipped one, I'm in the third or fourth line of the Be'er Halacha. It starts dot, dot, dot. Be'er Halacha, dot, dot, dot.
Who?
Where? The Berashi Verambam.
The Berashi Verambam.
Go ahead, Michael. Explicitly. It's explained explicitly. Lahedya means explicitly. That's the Rashi we just read together. Veratzalom ve.
And you could say that you're not going to be chayav on makabepatish.
Why? Well, right? Why wouldn't you be chayav on makabepatish? Must be elavadai aleph vav is elavadai.
Elavadai to be ilu ha'ininim lo si sayach makabepatish. That with these things.
These inyanim, yeah, these things, meaning
things,
sounds like food.
Food.
Yeah.
There's no issue of makir patish.
Oh, so let's extrapolate from there. If makir patish won't apply, so we obviously have to be talking about what kind of water?
Cold water.
If makir patish does not apply, so what does apply? Only bishul. If it's bishul, then it's only going to be asr. If it's
hot
water.
So
finish the sentence.
Cold water, according to Rashi and Rambam, would be fine.
Correct. That's the next five words that he says, Michael. Umimela, and Mimela comes out. Shaya, Delo Shaya.
There's no. How you translate Shaya?
Bitzoni. I'm sorry. Tzoni means cold. Umimela. So Mimela. Bitzoni. And if it's cold, comma Delo Shaya Bo Mishum Bishul, which is not.
You're not going to be
Right, because it's cold water. So it's going to be mutter. So what do we have here? We have, he brings
so
Rashi.
He's not going to be
It's not a problem
issue.
It's
with
cold water. What's
Aleph?
So it's
going
to
be a
problem.
No, it's not
going to
be a problem.
Reb
Eliyahu
Mizrahi.
Reb Eliyahu
Mizrahi.
No,
it's
not. It's
cold water. He's saying it's mutter.
He's saying
yes,
that if you hold.
It would be.
No,
it's
cold water.
Bishul.
It's cold water.
No, but with hot water, it's going to be bishul.
It's going to be hot water.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
hot water,
yeah,
would be bishul.
But wouldn't everyone say that?
But it's not. It's not because we cold water, nothing happened. It's not going to be makar batish.
And what's
no.
what's
cold water? Even if you do get it ready, it still is going to. It's not considered makar batish.
That's what I'm saying.
It's not considered anything.
Yeah. No. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that.
No, if you would think that hot water is makar batish, so it's also with cold water will be. But it's not.
Right. But again, are you talking first? Start like this. Are you talking about bishul? You start talking about makar batish. So then it can only be hot water. And then cold water, and then therefore it's not makar batish.
Yeah, no.
So therefore cold water would be mutter. Yeah, but if you all the chayv is because makar batish,
yeah.
So it doesn't matter what water it is?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Doesn't matter.
No.
Would the Prima God even agree that water would be bishul? With that? And so it's cold water because we can't reheat to find another.
I mean, I don't know what the Prima God is going to. I didn't see Prima God inside, so I can't talk about him, but I mean, Rashi said explicitly bishul. Yeah, he's arguing on Rashi.
With cold water, yeah.
I mean, he's saying that's makar batish, but Rashi said bishul. Like, why are you saying that against Rashi? You
know? Right.
What are you thinking?
With how water makes
Rashi bishul?
Rashi, the Prima Gadim is a commentary on a commentary of the Shulchan Aruch. Meaning, the Prima Gadim is the comment, the Shulchan Aruch, written in the 1500s, had a commentary called the Magen Avraham and the Taz. They lived in the early 1650s. On that, to understand the Magen Avraham and the Taz, the Prima Gadim explains the Magen Avraham and the Taz. So he probably lived 1750s, 18. So he's not, he can't argue on Rashi. Unless, again, I just need people to go to the side. It might be much more involved. Let's look at the last two lines of the Be'er Halacha.
And afterwards, he comes and he quotes.
Actually, we don't have to.
Because other sources that say it's...
He brings a few proofs. He brings in other proofs, which we don't have to go into, that it's only by bishul, that the isur is bishul, and it's only for hot water, and therefore, there's not going to be makar batish. The question is, why not? The answer is, third to last line, El Avadai, do you have it in yellow?
Yeah. El Avadai,
Inyanim. Inyanim. Elo, and these Inyanim.
There's not
going to be makar batish by food. So he told us, the Be'er Halacha told us, there's no makar batish by food.
According to
Rambam and Rashi, that's how he's paskening.
He's not giving his opinion. He's just saying what other people said.
He's saying he built it, he showed from Rashi, showed from the Rambam and from the other sources, and that's how he's ruling. There's no makar batish by food. That's the Mishnah Berurah's psak. There's no makar batish by food.
Why? What's
the reason? The reason we didn't do yet. That's what we're going to have to explain next. What?
That's weird. We were discussing this in Kabrusa, but then he throws this idea in, which basically knocks out the Prima Gadim, because then you can't have any discussion about food. But like, where does he...
What does the Prima Gadim do?
No, the Prima Gadim, I think, to me, the Prima Gadim makes a lot of sense. I mean, you can understand where it's coming from. It's not hot, so it's not official, but then there must be something else. So it makes sense it's not good potash, but then... With the Be'er Halacha, he says that makar batish doesn't apply to food, so that would not, you know, knock out any kind of discussion. So, but the question is, where does he get it from?
He got it from all the things that he said, from the fact that Rashi and the Rambam hold that it's bishul. That was what we read together.
By hot water.
And therefore, it's only going to be by hot water. I mean, I think the starting point is, what malacha are you violating? And based on the malacha that you're violating, we'll know whether it's hot water or cold water.
You can't know what malacha you're violating until you know what kind of water you're using.
You're saying, how did Rashi and the Rambam know? What were you? I hear what you're saying.
Well, they're saying with
maybe the Rambam and the Rashi have a diuk from the commission that said chamen. That sounds like it's only talking about hot water.
Well, the Mishnah says explicitly.
In the previous halacha, yeah.
Okay, fine. So since it's talking about chamen, we apply that to
the
whole Mishnah.
That's presumably how the Rashi and the Rambam learned.
Okay.
And then he has some other proofs that in the paragraph that we skipped, how he proves it.
So Yosh, no makar batish.
That's the conclusion.
Okay.
And therefore,
he said, "Don't be chamur." El achmir.
Where?
El achmir. That means you don't write.
We're not chamur.
It's not going to be. We're not going to say it's us. But we don't know why. Why should it be that there's no makar batish by food? We never saw anywhere in our journey through the past week and a half of makar batish.
You know why, Rabbi?
We never saw a reason why it should not be.
I think I have a reason.
Go ahead.
So he said, "If not, you will never be able to eat something on Shabbat.
I mean, go to somebody who's not religious, and they'll say, you can't cook on Shabbos. You're never going to be able to eat on Shabbos.
You would have to perfectly cook everything before
Shabbos.
Yeah,
I mean, you can
cook. We're not talking about cooking. Cooking, we explained why cooking is not
going to be subject. You have to put the ketchup before you play.
Right, you have to put the ketchup on the food.
Adaraba, you could cook. The cooking is not a problem.
Right.
Like, I was thinking, wouldn't some examples, like, if you bought fruit that was unwashed that had pesticides on it, couldn't you say, if you passed off the free megadim, then you couldn't wash off?
That we'd have to argue about, because maybe taking off the pesticides is just like taking off a wrapper. It's not finishing the fruit. It's just taking off the outside thing that you don't want there. Same thing with peeling an orange. It's not, you're not making the orange ready to eat, you're just taking off the peel. That's not called makor b'patish.
No one
says taking off something out of the bag is makor b'patish. So too, one would say taking something out of the
out of the
peel.
According to Magen, I'm really what's the name of that?
I'm not with you. Which one are you about?
I mean,
Prima Gadim? I don't think he would say that about taking something out of the bag. Here he's saying it's the finishing touch that makes the food edible, but you did something to it, qualitatively. You changed it to improve it and make it edible. That would be Makor b'patish, not taking it out of the bag. If something's fully cooked, that Danish, right, was fully baked when he bought it in the store. All Nathan had to do. Let's open it up.
So then we would apply the Magen Avraham.
Prima Gadim.
Only to food that's not cooked. We fix it.
Perhaps. Yes.
I think Yashin.
I understand what like the Prima Gadim might be. I have it about like where it could be not cautious, but
you can have it.
But I think the whole point is, I mean, like, you can't say it's not cautious. I mean, unless like you just rub off the salt, you know, and then you just leave it, like, if you leave it for later.
I think
the whole objective, I think, is like you want to cook it, you want to eat it. So therefore, it has to be visual because there's no like finishing touch. The whole point is like you want to eat it at the end.
You want to eat it, but in order to make it edible, maybe that water is there, to wipe off the salt, and maybe it does more, maybe it just wipes off the salt, maybe it does more than wipe off the salt. It makes, it gives that extra process. I don't want to use the word cooking, but that extra process to make it, now it's edible. It's so delicate because it's been sitting in the salt for months and months. And now that extra process made it able to be eaten. Okay. Now, we have to understand what would be the rationale. So far we had one or two suggestions what the rationale should be. Why food doesn't have makor b'patish? Alan has the gastronomic perspective that what will I eat if I can't do makor b'patish? So I don't know how strong that argument is.
Does the person say that makor b'patish has to be something that lasts?
Let's see. So, there's a Gemara in Beitza that I have on your source sheet, a one-liner. It says, is this the next source on the sheet?
Yeah.
Josh, you want to read it? Let me explain, let me give you background. If I want to make something or fix something on Shabbos, could I fix a tool or make a tool on Shabbos?
Yeah.
No, it's makor b'patish. What happens if it's on the other side of the coin, the opposite extreme, I want to make myself a strawberry shortcake. Could I do that on Shabbos?
Yes. But what's the difference?
Well, we just finished the Be'er Halacha that said that food will be mutter.
Okay.
So now comes something in the middle. I did black and I did white. What about gray? What's gray? Well, it's not a tool, but it's not regular food. What is it? What about food for an animal? Straw. Cows eat straw. Horses eat straw. Hay. So could you, let's say the hay is too long and your cow, your horse, only likes to eat short pieces of straw. Could you cut up the straw for your horse? Let's say you have some other kind of a pumpkin that's very hard and raw. And it's so raw, it might even be mukta. Are potatoes allowed to be moved on Shabbos? Raw potatoes, they're mukta. Why raw potatoes mukta on Shabbos? Yeah, you can't cook them and they're not edible. But let's say you have a pumpkin, same thing. But let's say you have a rabbit who eats raw potatoes and raw pumpkin. So could you cut it up and process it and do whatever else you have to do, spoon it out and give it to your rabbit? Is that going to be like, could you make it into whatever? Is that going to be like making a kli? Or is it going to be like making food? Says the Gemara over here that it's not subject to tikkun kli. It's going to be mutter. You're allowed to prepare the food for the animal. It's not, so whenever you see the word tikkun kli, or tikkun mana, which is Aramaic for kli, that's makor b'patish. There's no makom patish on making the food for an animal. Why not? Says the Ran. One line.
Let me see.
Food is not
Rabbi.
It's not human food. Maybe you're making something edible. Let's say there's pumpkin and they only eat the inside of the pumpkin, not the peel. No, it is not ein bahem means it's not subject to the prohibition.
So what he's talking about is about
ochle behema is not subject to the prohibition of tikkun kli.
Why
not? Because it's not a kli. But it's a chiddush. Because I might have thought, since it's not edible to humans, it's no different than making a tool.
Okay. I'm not understanding. He's talking about the tool that...
No.
What
are you
talking about?
Am I allowed? Let's say there's a pumpkin. Pumpkin is raw. I can't eat it. And my rabbit could eat it, but my rabbit only eats pumpkin when it's peeled.
Yeah.
So could I crack it open, take out the inside of the pumpkin to give to my rabbit? Because it's not going to eat the outside. Maybe I'm preparing it. I'm making something not usable to usable. Should that be a violation of Makom Patish? Because I'm taking this pumpkin that was unusable, and I'm processing it. I'm doing something to it. That meaning cracking it open, spooning out the inside, the softer part. Now a rabbit could eat it. So is that like Makom Patish? I'm making something
because
unusable to eatable?
Because raw food that are
muktzah. Not only is it muktzah, but maybe if I would process it and make it usable on Shabbos, that would be like Makom Patish.
It's written for an animal.
Well, I made something that was not usable, and now it's usable for an animal. That should be Makom Patish. Once I make something not usable usable, that's classically what we call Gemar Malacha.
We say, but if it were for
comes
person,
the bread,
then that would be...
Oh, comes the bread. Well, person, I think we clarified, that's what the Beit Halacha clarified, that's going to be Mutter. Here we have the Gemara saying not only food for a person, but even food for an animal also is not going to be subject to Makom Patish.
Why not even, like, how come...
Because I told you. We have black and white, and this Gemara is the gray in the middle.
Okay. So we know...
Kalim, that's us, that's my Patish. Food for a person, that's Mutter. What about something in the middle? Hay.
Hay.
Or a hard pumpkin. Hard
we lean towards the Usur.
So says the Gemara that it's mutter. We have to go on.
Gemara
says it's mutter.
That pumpkin was always eatable for your rabbit.
No, maybe I had to do something that made the rabbit able to eat. Like the outside is too hard. A coconut. There's a great example. A coconut. You put a coconut in front of an animal, he's not going to be able to do anything. What do you have to do to the coconut?
Crack it open.
Then you'll, okay, coconut is edible for humans. So it's not a good example. Let's say there was something that would be, let's say people would only eat cooked coconut. So it's not edible for humans. Are you allowed to crack it for your animal? Is that the Makom Patish? You're putting the finishing touch on a coconut to make the animal able to consume the coconut. Says the Gemara, it's mutter.
Do we say that it's a Kal Vachomer if food for an animal is mutter? For sure, food
for I would say so. You're asking a kasha the Prima Gadim. Yeah. I would agree to you.
We can't explain the Prima
Gadim. I haven't seen it since, so I don't want to talk about it. It's my own fault. So the Ran, the next line says a one-liner that you might, that was a little bit hard to read, but the Ran is the secret to why there's no Makom Patish. At least in this case, he's talking about that food over there, that food for the animal, but we'll be able to use his rule and apply it to understand why there's no Makom Patish by any food. Who saw this liner of the Ran? David, did you see it? Alan, you want to read the Ran? You saw it this morning?
Yeah, I saw it.
Go ahead, Alan.
In Bahem Ishum Tikum Keli, the Kevim, Derechin Ad Shehin.
What's that second word? The Kevim De?
Derechin.
Anyone know how to read that word? Alex?
Derechin.
De?
Derechin.
Rach. What's Rach?
Soft.
Soft. You had known plural. Since they are soft, that's a hard word, because you read it, looks like darkin or something.
That's the reason, because they're always hard soft?
Since derachenhein, since this food that we were just talking about for the animal's food, it's soft, such that, how soft is it? It's sufficiently soft that, Alan.
Ad shehein roi lebe'ama lo chashiv kli she'enu mitkayem.
Could you explain that line? Since they are soft, how soft are they? They're soft enough that
it can be eatable for to your animal.
Therefore, that would make it, since it's soft enough that it's edible for an animal, it's not so hard.
So, cliche,
it's not considered, lo chashiv kli, comma.
I'm
reading it differently. Lo chashiv kli, comma. Since it's soft enough that an animal could eat it, keva and derachin, achen ru'uyin lebehema, comma. Lo chashiv kli, comma. And why is it not considered a kli? The next two words are the keywords. She'eno mitkayim. Since it's soft, it's not going to last. And if it's not going to last, that can't be considered a kli. And therefore, you can't be chayev for which malacha?
Makapatish.
Because makapatish is only going to be for something like a kli and not food. Why is it only going to be served for a kli and not food? Josh, what did you say 25 minutes ago?
It's not going to last.
Exactly. You see from this run, explaining makapatish in the Gemara and Beitza, by food of an animal, that the reason, exactly, the reason why...
That's what I said before, you told me...
I'm sorry, let me rephrase it. That makah b'patish only applies when you do something that has some sense of...
everlasting.
Permanence, everlastingness. And therefore, food for an animal, which is... it's too hard for a human, but it's soft enough at least for an animal. Once something's soft enough for an animal, that shows that it's not going to be able to really stay too long. It has some softness. Kol shekein, certainly human food, which is even softer, lasts even less. So therefore, you're not going to make mepatish by food for a human, nor for an animal. Why? Because it's eino mitkayim.
When I told you that, you told me that you can have a soup chicken in your fridge for...
No, because I have to wait to see what's inside.
In America, you can. Tomatoes, that's for 3 months. Onion for 5 months.
Right.
Colombia
today
really?
No,
I'm kidding, I don't know.
Yeah, yeah, because it's hotter and you're more humid, probably.
No, it's more, all the esteroids and everything that they put in the
okay.
It doesn't taste like tomato. I've been trying out tomato in Israel, they store it different.
Yeah.
No. Orange in Israel, they store it different. Avocado, everything.
Yeah, okay. Okay, so we just found out is that... Well, we just found out... is a very fundamental thing, and this fundamental thing is actually going to be the bridge to the next sugya, which we're not going to do the second, but the next sugya is going to be, if you could look at your Mishnah, on Daf, our Mishnah, Kaf Beis Amud Beis, I want to draw your eyes to the fourth line of the Mishnah. We're going to explain this line in depth. That's what we're going to do the next day in Shir. That's what we'll do on Sunday, God willing. Sunday is going to be an important day. It's going to be the foundations of the next sugya. So I hope you'll be able to make it Sunday because it's going to be an important day. Okay, Josh, try to if you can make it Sunday. It's going to be important Shir. Look at the fourth line. Melach. What do you see there? Kol ha'osa melacha. Umalachto mitkayemet. What does umalachto mitkayemet mean? Well, we're going to see at least two or three or four, maybe even five explanations of that one word as we go through the sugya. But simply, it sounds like it has to last. So my friends, you learned this Mishnah 3 weeks ago and you saw that in order for there to be makah b'patish, it has to last. So of course, you should have known 5 or 3 weeks ago that makah b'patish will not apply to food items, because food items
Don't last.
Good? So that's the sugya that we're going to work on and understand that line. We're going to do it very much at depth next week. But let's finish off the food stuff today.
You finished it, no?
We're finishing up. We still have till mincha. By mincha we'll finish lunch by mincha. We'll finish talking about food. Okay? Now, if you turn to Ayin Gimel, Amud Aleph, which we have turned to many, many times, and we probably will continue to turn many times, I found a list. Of these 39 malachas, a whole bunch of them do not apply to food. I don't remember where I saw this list, but let me tell you, of these 39, I could identify, we just said Makah B'Patish doesn't apply to food, I could identify another 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, maybe even 8. First of all, bona probably doesn't apply to foods. What else doesn't apply to food?
Hotzah.
Hotzah does, of course. If you carry food outside, that's a malach d'oraisa.
Sharing. But you can't do hotzah to a food. You could do hotzah with the food. Does it matter?
I'm doing hotzah carrying food out. You'll see what I mean in a second. So veya, coloring.
Yes.
Are you allowed to paint the wall? No. Are you allowed to dye a shirt? No. Are you allowed to put food coloring in? Are you allowed to put Kool-Aid in water?
Yeah.
Yes. So veya does not apply to food. Korea, ripping. Are you allowed to rip apart that steak?
Doesn't apply to food?
Yes.
You're allowed to. What about if you want to rip it exactly at the point to get the
chicken off the
bone? Whatever, without the fat, or with the fat, or with the sauce, or that. It's also mutter. Tofer, you're attaching. Are you allowed to sew? How do you sew food? What are you doing? You sew food. I don't know.
You sew the turkey. You sew the turkey back up after you sew.
Okay, could be. Tofer, sewing does not apply. Misartit, let's say you put a line. Where are you going to cut? Misartit is to make that line, to see where you want to make the cut. What do you do with the challah?
You make a cut.
You make a cut to see where you're going to cut it, right? You ever see people do that before they say how much they make a line? Yeah. So that's misartit. Mechatek, that's cutting on a set place. Also, it's mother mimareach. Are you allowed to put butter on your challah, put butter on your matzah, smoothing something out?
Yeah.
If you smooth ointment on your skin, you'd be chayav achatas, or skilo, whatever. And here you're smoothing out butter on bread. Why is bread different than your skin? Because it's food. Me'abed, to tan. Tanning, like to put the chemicals on leather. If you do it to fruit leather, it's okay. I don't know what the practical applications of tanning would be to... Don't worry about it. But you have these seven malachas that I just mentioned. I saw it somewhere. Don't apply to food. I wonder, why is it that all these seven malachas don't apply to food?
Kotev? Can you write it?
Like, we're going to learn. I don't know. We're going to learn soon. I don't know the answer. I know they talk about it, but we're going to learn it soon.
Can you write it in a cake with chocolate? Happy birthday.
Yeah, I think it's going to be the Mishnah on... I think it's a Mishnah, no? It's a Mishnah that we're going to do like in a week or two. Okay, we'll have to see it soon. So let me ask you a question. Why do you think all these seven or eight or maybe nine malachas don't apply to food?
It's
not permanent, exactly. So this you saw that we just saw on the Ran, understanding Makom Patish might be a key to open up many, many, many malachas that, so many malachas don't apply to food. Why? Perhaps it's because, I'm not saying for certain, but perhaps it's because of this Ran, that malachas have to have a sense of permanence, like this rule that I just read you in the Mishnah. Zehaklal, look at the Mishnah, please, on Kuf Beis. Zehaklal, this is the rule. Sounds like it's talking about all malachas. Zehaklal, this is the rule. Kol ha'osa malacha is not talking about just bona, it's talking about many malachas. It has to be malacha miskayemes. So therefore, by food, which is not miskayemes, we're not going to apply malach, the isra of malach. And therefore, all these different malachas that I mentioned won't apply to food. There's one problem, gentlemen. I said in the list of malachas that do not apply to food, I said, bona. Can anyone scream at me? Can anyone argue with me? I said that bona does not apply to food. I could build a strawberry shortcake. I explained to you how to build a strawberry shortcake. You take the bottom layer. You make the bottom layer of pound cake. Then whipped cream, then strawberries, then cake. I just built an 8-inch high, beautiful, gorgeous structure of a strawberry shortcake.
Yeah, but it's not gonna
and I told you that that's mutter. And bona is mutter. There's no bona by food. You should all ask me. But Rabbi Orlean, didn't we learn on the first day of Shir... On the second day of Shir, on the first day of Mara Mekomos,
say,
they're putting stuff to
you. You're getting close. You're getting close. Mega.
Mega. Mega. Let the car come.
Mega.
Mega. Mega. Mega.
Mega. Mega. B.
Megabin?
What's Megabin?
The
cheesemaker?
Yes! Thank you, Doug! Oh. Didn't we say that putting the milk in...
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Is it interesting how the South Americans think? We learned the first day of Shir, Megabain is Bona. That's the definition of Bona. You take separate parts, milk, it's all separate particles, and you push it together. You form something with it. That's cheese making. Cheese making, Megabain, from the word Gvina, is Bona. So how could you say, Rabbi, early in a minute ago, that Bona doesn't apply to cheese, to food items?
Maybe because cheese does.
That's a special case.
Exactly. That's what the Pnei Yeshua says, Alan Jenny from Chile. Beautiful. That's exactly the Pnei Yeshua, which I didn't put on the Maamar Kos, but the Pnei Yeshua says exactly that point. When do we say that all these things don't apply because of the Yisod that we just said, that food items are not permanent? It must be cheese.
You just said it for Makeb Patish, not for Bonnie.
Cheese is permanent?
And then I applied it.
No, but you can have a cheese for a month.
I gave a list of eight other things left.
Yes. Cheese is permanent, it's not to the ground. Why is it Bonnie? It's not stuck to the ground.
We never asked that question because I didn't remember about anything. Chakeli.
You're going to see a Tosfos, the long Tosfos that we're going to see in... Didn't we see this Tosfos already? Didn't we see this Tosfos last week? Who can answer David from the Tosfos that we said?
Yeah, but it's not. It's not a process. It takes time.
No one said it has to be right away. Somebody says that you do from start to finish. You take something separated, and by the end, you have a complete unit. That's start to finish.
You do everything like that.
No. If you do mita shel tarsim from start to finish, that's going to be bona. But if you just put the finishing touch...
Sometimes the cheese takes 25 days.
That's fine. It could take 6 months. It could take 6 months.
Bye-bye.
Cheese that you have to wait after you eat cheese 6 hours is for cheese that was aged for 6 months.
But if you're playing the
rules... So, that's not right away, Ron.
I didn't say right away. That you do from the beginning to the end. You do the whole process from beginning to end. That's going to be...
So if you're doing a Kelly, whatever, like a table, for 3 months, you finish it, it's Makeb HaPatish. Because you finish it, you eat it.
If you would do it from beginning to end on Shabbos, maybe we'll look into cheese more. Bona is the next sugya. So hopefully when we get to Bona, we'll try to get more in mind.
Cheese doesn't last more than a cake. Or more than like...
Yeah, it does.
Cheese lasts...
Cottage.
And not the cheese that not like cottage cheese.
Not cheese you eat, but
not cottage cheese. You're right. Our cottage cheeses are not the cheese that
they're talking about. No, we're talking about
cheese. We're talking about cheese that ages for 6 months until you could start to eat it.
Yeah.
And then you first start to sell it.
Yeah, but I don't think we have that cheese anymore.
Yeah, you do this.
Parmesan. Parmesan cheese.
Like,
you live it outside, I think, in like 3 days. You have more mold on it.
I don't know. All I know is that Parmesan cheese takes 6 months to age. And I've had it in my fridge. You can have it in your fridge for months and months and months.
Rabbi.
Maybe they have stabilized
it. No, but the fridge is not a good argument because you're not putting the freezer and meat for 6 years.
You're right.
Rabbi, are we looking at the potential of the thing that you're building? Because maybe you can also build a house and destroy it.
Yeah, but that's an external thing that you did after you built it. That's true with anything.
No, but maybe you have
the act that you're doing has a sense of purpose.
I'm building because I want to have fun in Shabbat.
So if you're building something that will fall down by itself, so maybe that's not going to be Bona either. Great point.
No, I'm talking, I don't know how to express myself.
Okay, I just want to we're in the last lap of Makeb HaPatish. And we just said there's no Makeb HaPatish by food. I have one problem. Two problems. There's a Yerushalmi, which I didn't give you inside.
Why not?
Because it's an Aramaic that's really hard. That's not even Talmud Bavli Aramaic. It's Talmud Yerushalmi Aramaic, which is even harder. Well, maybe it's just harder because we're not used to it. Yerushalmi says that when you're processing garlic, so when you crush the garlic, that's one malacha. When you pick out the peel from the garlic, that's another malacha. When you grind it up, that's another malacha. When you mix it with liquid to make some garlic spread, that's a different malacha. And then it says, and when you finish making the garlic, that is Makeb HaPatish. What do we see from this Yerushalmi?
That there is Makeb
HaPatish
by food.
So we're in trouble.
We saw that already. We saw
Bona
by cheese.
Whenever there's that kind of machlok in Yerushalmi,
we always follow the Bafra.
No, well, yeah. Can we say machlok Tanaim? Some stay in Israel.
No, these are Amoraim. Talmud is the Gemara.
No, I know, but they followed. Those Amoraim followed the some Tanaim. The Amoraim of Bava followed another Tanaim.
They probably follow the same Tanaim, but you're saying there could be machlok in Amoraim. Yeah, and if there is, then we'll follow Bava. But if there isn't, then if there's no machlok, we will follow Yerushalmi. So here, I don't have an explicit Bava.
Right, there's no explicit Bava.
But I have an explicit Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi says explicitly that if I finish processing garlic, there is Ma'akar B'Patish. Not only that, but there's another Yerushalmi, which I also didn't give you. And you know what it says over there? The other Yerushalmi says, there was a certain lady that would, a lady, and when she would do something with the wheat, she would violate one malacha. When she would crush the top of the kernel, that would be a different malacha. When she picked out the bad stuff, that would be borer. When she would chop it up, that would be tochen, grinding. When she would throw it in the air to get rid of the bad stuff, that would be Zora, another malacha. And when she finished making the flour, F-L-O-U-R, the flour, like for baking bread flour, she would violate Makkah B'Patish. Two Yerushalmis, both of them say that Makkah B'Patish does apply to food. What are we going to do?
Maybe because those things you're not like eating right away. Flour, you don't eat plain flour. Garlic, you don't eat...
I hear. Who could say the logic that we just used a minute ago?
Well, it's going to last.
It's going to last. It's fascinating. The two examples, does anyone here have garlic powder in their cabinets? How long has it been there?
Forever.
Oh, does anyone here have flour in their kitchen? How long has it been there? Fascinated, the two cases of food that the Yerushalmi says that there is Makkah B'Patish are both cases that what? That lasts for a very long time. Exactly like cheese that the Pnei Yeshua said. That why cheese has bona? Again, that's not Makkah B'Patish because it lasts for a very long time. Fascinating, fabulous, incredible. Makkah B'Patish has to be for a very long time. That's why all foods are not subject to Makkah B'Patish. Oh, there's Yerushalmi that has a few cases of Makkah B'Patish by food. Yeah, those specific two cases just happen to be talking about specific kinds of food that have a very long, long, long shelf life.
Stira against the run?
What?
This is with the
run. This is exactly the point of the run.
Yeah, of course.
That's exactly the point of the run. The run, what?
I don't know if it's rock.
It's rock. That's the whole point, that it's rock. This is not rock. These two things are not rock.
They're hard.
It's hard. Garlic, crushed garlic.
They feed the horses the same thing that they feed humans, just less prepared.
Maybe it's rock.
Like hard pumpkin.
Flour. They eat the kernels without the whole process.
So what were the two Gemaras in the Yerushalmi?
One was about the last process that they did to make garlic, and the second was to make flour.
And usually they eat things that are far less rough than what we eat. Usually.
Again, we don't eat flour, we don't eat garlic. We use them as, like, we crush them up. Like, no one has a piece of garlic and just bites into it. No one has... You grind it up and sprinkle little bits on it so that they're so small that they just get flavor.
More stir against the run. I don't know. I feel like...
The Ran says it's rach... Ochel behema, because it's rach, is not going to last a long time.
The Yerushalmi says that the Makkah B'Patish explicitly?
Yes.
So, cows, what do they eat? Hay?
They eat hay. Hay rot. Doesn't hay rot? Hay could rot if it gets moist.
More than the garlic for sure, Rabbi.
What?
More than the garlic.
You make flour from.
Like huh?
If that rots, then...
You don't make flour from hay.
Yeah, hay is the one
that's left. What's
left? Wheat. Okay, fine. Wheat is the hay. The one is processed.
No, but the garlic is also hay. Hay is just grass.
Okay, fine.
Wheat.
Language better.
Garlic is what? Wheat.
Yes. So wheat is forbidden for the animals, but flour made of wheat, it is...
But maybe when that, come on, we're talking about tikkun ocho, for the animal, we're talking about something like a pumpkin. It's talking about like food, not just you know, hay. Maybe it's talking about stuff like pumpkin, like vegetables that are very hard, that are soft. What? What? Rabbits. Rabbits. I bet, I'm sure animals eat like, we don't feed them pumpkin, but I'm sure they eat like vegetables and stuff like that.
Right, crushed up. The Gemara says, if the Gemara would have wanted to, they could have explained in a few more words,
the same from China.
Certain
ochel,
not every
ochel. I mean, the Ran did that. The Ran did that. The Ran explained the Gemara and says that the soft food ochel beima, because it's soft.
It doesn't say only.
Does anyone say that?
Since ochel beima is so soft,
it's soft
that we consider it.
So he's obviously talking about soft ochel beima.
He's not even limiting the case of it.
By saying that it's talking about, by saying that since it's soft, he's obviously talking about softer.
No, it's saying
and that you're right. It could be
the ochel beema. When you call it ochel beema, it's that's the condition for it to be soft.
Rabbi, so you want to say
it's already since it's softer than beema, it's so an animal can eat it. Then we call it very rach.
That's rach enough to not be considered a kli.
Yes,
and therefore, and why is that significant? Because it's not going to last. He says that's why. He says that extra part. But since it's rach, it's not going to be mitzkayim.
Yes. Not going to be doing pain. Whatever that.
And therefore, I'm suggesting, not me, but whoever, wherever this is from, that flour and garlic.
Who says this? Does anyone say this explicitly?
Who makes this point? People say it. I don't remember.
But we know that it's for Masih Batandish?
Yeah, the Rishonim says explicitly. Gamra, when he finishes making the flour, Melachta Mishum Makab Patish. Explicitly.
That's why we don't learn from Bergamar.
No, there's nothing in the Bavli that it goes against it. We saw the Rishonim. The Bavli.
There's no Bavli that goes against Makab Patish by food.
No, it's Rashi.
Well, we had the Gemara and Beitza talk about food for animals.
Okay, food for animals, okay,
but certainly okay. So we have, we have a machlok, Bavli Yerushalmi. Listen, let me put it together. You could look at it as, I don't think it's machloka, because we could answer it easily as, right. This is what you're thinking. One could say, we have machloka, it's a contradiction between the Bavli and the Yerushalmi. The Bavli says in Beitza that food for animals, and certainly food for humans, does not have tikkun kli. It's not subject to makkah v'patish.
Maybe it's not a
but I have an explicit Gemara in the Yerushalmi that says that it is makkah v'patish to make your flour and to make your garlic.
So
one could say, okay, they argue, and we pass like the Bavli, that there's no makab patish by food. One could say, there's no machloket here, there's no argument. They're talking about stuff, meaning the Bavli is talking about food for animals, as Ran explained, which has some measure of softness, which will, as Ran explained, which will not last a long time. That is not going to have makab patish. The two cases where the Bavli, where the Yerushalmi spoke about makab patish by food, happened to both, coincidentally, because where they happen to let both these things have a very long shelf life, where they last a very long time, and therefore, everyone agrees if something is soft and has a short shelf life, it's not going to have makab patish. It's not like a kli. If something has a long shelf life, it will last for a very long time. It's like a kli. It will be subject to makab patish.
But who says this that the shelf life
matters? It could be the Pei Yoshua when he talks about the cheese. I want to finish off this whole discussion with one final application. And that's going to be the end of Makab Patish. You see? You see these red letters?
Yeah. Question.
Can you read it? End of Makab Patish. We're almost there. Tomorrow.
From here, it only goes down.
Does anyone here have a soda stream? Seltzer maker?
We also power company that have a factory in the Westland.
Okay.
I
was
the one.
That was
the
whole problem. You didn't hear about it?
I know there's
something.
They fired Scarlett Johansson from a non-profit organization. She was their ambassador for peace, and she got fired because.
So we don't care. Rabbi, I think that's a big
deal. It's really important. It's a really big deal.
SodaStream, can you make seltzer on Shabbos?
Yes.
Yeah, so Rabbi.
Let's think.
No, Rabbi. Shrugging. Next time.
Okay, let's think. Based on what we learned today, can you make...
Yeah, there's no market patties by food that doesn't have a long-lasting time.
Yeah.
And you're making it right away.
First of all, is it even market patties?
Well, you're putting that touch to make it...
Gassy.
You're injecting the carbon dioxide. Now you turn regular plain water. It's not electrical. There are no lights. No. There's no electricity. What do? You just release gas or something?
Yeah.
And all of a sudden you put that finishing touch, making this plain, regular water. You inject the fizz, and now you're, I have seltzer now. I changed it. Now I have seltzer. So at first glance, it sounds like Makom HaPatish. And there was somebody in the rabbinical history who did say that it's a problem of Makom HaPatish. But Shlomo Zal goes through some of the points to argue.
By soda stream?
Actually, in the olden days, they made seltzer in a different way. Maybe before that. This is a shaila that was discussed by Tzvi Pesach Frank. My father graduated Yeshiva YU in 1955.
What?
And he went to learn in Eretz Yisrael for 3 years. Three years. After he finished college. Then no one went to college after. No one went to Israel after high school. Then no one went for a year in Israel. My father, unlike a very few other people, after he graduated college, went to Israel. And he stayed for 3 years. In 56, 57, 58, 55, 56, 57, around there. While he was there, he met Tzvi Pesach Frank. Tzvi Pesach Frank was the chief rabbi of Yerushalayim. One of the greatest gedolim of the world.
Ashkenaz?
He was the Ashkenaz chief rabbi, yes. So this is in the mid-50s or late-50s. And so Tzvi Pesach Frank, I don't know when he wrote this tshuva, but it might have been many years before my father met him, but I just wanted you to have the historical, you know, when he lived. So Tzvi Pesach Frank, the rabbi of Yerushalayim, talked about the following. The way they used to make it, maybe, did every, I don't know exactly, but when I was in high school, elementary school, 8th grade, I had a bite plate after my braces to keep my teeth straight.
Really?
And you have to clean it. The way you clean it is you put in a cup of water and you drop one of these pills in and it goes shh, it bubbles up. Like Alka-Seltzer. Okay? So the way he describes making seltzer is the same way. You have water, you drop some powder in. Maybe it's like bicarbonate of soda or some other kind of baking powder or something. Drop it in, it fizzes and puts the bubble, the fizzing is releasing carbon dioxide, and that carbon dioxide is released into the water. You have fizzy water. You have seltzer. Okay, that's what he described. Nowadays we do it differently, and some of the arguments that he gives will not apply to our soda streams where you just already have CO2 that you're injecting. So, he first of all says something interesting.
Is he permitted or?
In the end, he says it's mutter. I'll give you some of the arguments. Some of the arguments only apply to the way they made seltzer in those days by dropping in the powder, and some apply even. First of all, he says that it should only apply Malka Patish, as we've been discussing all day. It should only apply if it will stay, if it's permanent. But if it's not going to be permanent, if it's not mitkayim, it shouldn't be Malka Patish. Apparently, that fizzy seltzer that they made with that.
Like whoever made this point that really the Yerushalmi shows clearly that whenever it's mitkayim, we do hold for Makom HaPatish.
What does the Meiri?
The Ran.
I'm sorry. Yeah. Correct. Yeah, we hold the Ran. That, and apparently this bubble, when it stopped, you had a minute or two to drink the water. After that, all the bubbles went away. Like, if you put Alka-Seltzer in a cup of water, it's not going to keep on bubbling for the next 3 weeks.
No.
It bubbles. After a minute or two, the bubbles stop and it's over. Apparently, that was the situation with the seltzer then also. Our seltzer, it stays. I don't know for sure, because if you leave it on cap, if you take off the cap, it doesn't stay.
No,
it gets flat after 5 days.
So that doesn't last for more than... I don't know.
I can't imagine sort of stream lasting longer than...
Oh, really? It only
lasts
for a short time?
Yeah, it wouldn't last longer than...
Oh, really?
It's just for the moment. Like.
Yeah, oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, but it doesn't last that much.
Okay, good. So that you'll have one heter. Second heter that he gives, this is brilliant. This is brilliant. He says, we learned that Makom HaPatish has to be... When you bang it, that's the Makom HaPatish. But what do we see by the tanur? Where you put something in... and it happens by itself,
it's not
makabe patish. He says, it doesn't matter, it doesn't have to be a 35-minute delay. Even a 20-second delay is significant. If I drop the pill, what happens? 3 seconds later, starts bubbling, and then 20 seconds later, the whole cup is bubbled. So what does he say? He says very simply, it's not like the makapatish of the Mishkan. Makapatish of the Mishkan, you have something. The action did. If there's any time delay, it's not considered makapatish, because it's not it happening by itself. It's not happening because of your action isn't doing it. I don't think that will apply by soda stream. That leniency, when I pump, push the button, it goes in, I think that is immediate. So we won't have that. But
even the second you drop that pill inside, the second you drop it in, it starts bubbling. Well, it's not like the weight.
Okay, but the water is the cup is not in. Sometimes when you're not sure about something, you accumulate heters, because each heter could be assuming something. This has a certain assumption, this has a certain assumption, certain weaknesses, you could argue on this, but if you put together, a lot of times when you have a shaila, and a tshuva will say, I have 5 tzadim to be mekel. 5 sides to mekel. Even if you, not, even if 1 is weak, 2 is weak, 3 is weak, but by putting together all these different points, I'm going to show you that it won't be subject to makabe patish. Because I have so many different aspects of makabe patish. The fact that it's not kayan, the fact that it happens on its own, not through my direct action. These are all points we could argue on individually, but when I have them all together, it gives you
to be wake up.
One final thing, and this we didn't focus on so much, but you could drink the water without it.
What?
You could drink water if it doesn't have CO2 in it.
Yeah.
Right?
So it's already finished.
So makabe patish maybe will only be when you made it something that wasn't usable into usable.
There are people that doesn't drink water, like clean water.
Very cool.
That's their problem. They're not normal. But water is drinkable. Okay, there's somebody who doesn't ever drink water, he'll only drink salt. Okay, fine, that's because he's just rich and used to a lot of nice things. But if he didn't live in the
spoiled.
Right, he's spoiled.
So chiseling is not, you're pointing to spoil the toast for one. That's not my
game.
You're saying because you could leave it as it is. No, I mean, unless they don't, no one puts those kinds of stones in a building. So therefore, halacha lemaisa. We come out, the makabe patish does not apply, and finally, Rav Shlomo Zalman says that what we were saying the whole time, the makabe patish only applies when you're doing something that lasts, and if you're doing something for to eat now, it's mutter, and therefore, just like the Yishalmi, we only prohibited things that last for a long time, but anything else will be permitted for makabe patish. We just finished the sugya makabe patish, why it doesn't apply by foods, and next week we will continue the Mishnah. And we're going to go complete. We finished all the halacha things. Now we're going to focus a little bit more on regular Gemara. Have a wonderful Shabbos.
So we're all Shabbat Shalom.